podcast, home to stories that haunt. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence or explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Advil, chocolate milk, and lust for a pack of cigarettes. The holy trinity of any graveyard shift approached the countertop. The migraine Jack woke up with choked his optical nerves. The fan, the footsteps, the rattle of the pills in the bottle, the agonizing sounds chipped away at his soul. The lady behind the register smiled.
"Good evening, dear."
Had he not been wrestling to keep Brahman down, it might have registered that such an old lady at dusk in a gas station convenience store was out of place. He drew ovals into his left temple.
Can I get a pack of Marlboro Lights?
My husband used to smoke those,
she said, crow's feet folding. She turned her back. The monotone bell over the door sang. Jack winced. She dropped the cigarettes on her way back to the counter. Her eyes had grown from beneath her eyebrow ridges, stirring with water.
"Hands in the fucking sky, and don't get cute about the button under the counter,"
he heard. And although he wasn't expecting a bouquet of flowers to greet him, the sight of the pistol sliced him open.
"You too,"
the voice said.
"Hands."
The words had emanated from a tall, burly figure concealed in the rubber mask of a bear. It wore a blue button-up shirt, jeans, and gloves. Jack raised his hands, not knowing what to say. Before he could load any vowels in his throat, the bear noticed Winnie, whose name tag stole Jack's eye as adrenaline made the lights brighter, moved to the counter. The bear showered the shelves in Winnie's candy apple red. The hole in her forehead leaked over her wet eyes. Back colliding with the cartons, her lips twitched. She could have been mouthing something, but Jack didn't catch it. Her body fell to the floor in a hailstorm of cigarettes, lighters, and chewing tobacco. A few more jitters, then vacancy. The pressure behind Jack's eyes ruptured, tremors riddling his body.
"Enough to make the sun hide,"
the bear said. The mask turned.
"You better get behind that counter and bring me the cash,"
he said, turning the gun on Jack.
"Now."
Jack's fingers spasmed. Beyond the bear, the homeless man, who had asked him for a five on his way in, stared through the window. The mouth of the pistol burned a kiss on his forehead.
"Do I look like a fucking joke to you?"
Jack wobbled around the counter, breaking from his stupor. Winnie's marbled eyes were rolled back. Her white curls were baptized in crimson, a halo cradled by the cracking linoleum. A blast stabbed his ears. Dust whistled from a hole in the ceiling.
"The cash. You can grieve in a minute,"
the bear said. He opened the register, emptied it, and slid the bills across the counter. The bear swaddled it up. Then both stood, locked in a stare until Jack said,
May I go?"
"How do I know you won't talk?"
Jack's head fell.
"Hey, you're in a mask. I can't identify you."
"So are you,"
the bear said.
"You just don't know it."
Jack looked up at the glass chocolate milk bottle he'd left on the counter.
I don't know what to say to that."
"Then don't take it personally,"
the bear said. From his periphery, Jack noticed the barrel inching closer to his face. He didn't see the flash, no cut to black either. No pain, no self, only loss of motor function. He fell to the floor, in stills, ego unplugged. Advil, chocolate milk, and a lust for nicotine. He placed the items on the counter.
"Good evening, dear,"
Winnie said. The cadence was so familiar it made him nauseous. He steadied himself on the edge of the counter.
Can I get a pack of Marlboro Lights?"
"My husband used to smoke those," she said.
More nausea met the dread in his chest. What was this? Why did he know she was going to say that? Why did everything hurt? The tumbles of the air conditioner, the shuffle of her feet, the chorus of "A Horse with No Name" from the crusted speakers. The monotone bell over the door sang. A mnemonic chain reaction riddled his brain. The dread shifted, shards slicing his skull. The migraine had taken a new form. Returning to the counter, Winnie's smile died. The folds of her face stooped in a familiar way.
"Hands in the fucking sky.
And don't get cute about the button under the counter," Jack said.
Winnie blistered with fear. Jack looked over his shoulder. The bear's head had turned to him, tilted like a confused dog. Jack leapt, elbow striking his thick wrist. The guns scuttled across the floor. Remembering the image of Winnie's glazed eyes, Jack grabbed the bear's loose handle-like collar, jerked it toward the counter. He grabbed the chocolate milk, striking the mask with a primal ruthlessness he had never felt. Glass rain twinkled to the floor. The bear grunted. Jack pumped his foot into its torso, sending it on its back. He mounted the bear, pulling at its rubber to reveal a desiccated chin. Winnie's face bounced off the counter, stealing Jack's attention. In her terror, she'd collapsed. In the seconds it took for Jack to look, a pierce between his ribs severed all action. The bear had stuck him with a switchblade, followed by a quick jab to the throat. He twisted his hips, sending Jack sideways. His head cracked against the bottom of the counter, migraine screaming with aura. The bear stood to its feet, chocolate milk trickling down its snout. It fumed, the exhale morphing into a rasp from the rubber of the mask. Jack coughed blood, pushing himself to stand. He held the blade handle in place so it wouldn't move against the nerves. He could feel rushing in his body as he stood. He spun with the speed of the planet. The bear seized his throat, gloves squeaking, and leaned over the counter. The eye holes in the mask weren't just dark. They were pitch. It pulled the blade out, hammering him in the face with a closed fist until his nose split open. It plunged into Jack's stomach. Once, twice, three times, until Jack was in so much pain that he could no longer keep track of how many stabs plundered his body. After his shirt was shredded and sopping with blood, it pulled him up by his hair, bringing the knife beneath to his neck. The carve was slow. Jack felt his throat cry red tears until a cold fatigue pulled him down, a kaleidoscope of black and white afterimages. Advil, chocolate milk, and a pack of... No. It couldn't be. How long had he been staring at the grime on the metal shelf? He took a step back, peeking around the edge of the aisle. Winnie stood, turning a page of her newspaper. He checked his phone. 9 p.m., no service. He didn't remember coming in. He already had the Advil and chocolate milk in his hand. He had to be at work by 10. He tried to recall the night before he arrived, but no information rose to greet him. Impenetrable fog clouded his brain. He decided he could always go somewhere else for cigarettes. At 9:04, he walked to the register.
"Good evening, dear," he waved.
Good evening, Winnie.
The item sat on the counter.
"Anything else I can do for you tonight?"
she said. He handed her some money.
No, ma'am.
She smiled, taking the bills. The monotone bell over the door sang. She handed one bill back. He gripped it, yanking her close.
Winnie, please do what he says.
Confusion crossed her face as he heard the pistol chamber around.
Hands in the fucking sky, and don't get cute about the button under the register.
Betrayal washed over her eyes as they stared into his. He felt the gun press on the back of his head.
You too,
the bear said.
Hands.
Jack rose them.
All right, let's be cool,
he said, widening his eyes at her. Metal jammed the back of his head.
I'm calling the shots here.
Jack looked at the register, then back at her. She emptied it, even picking up the tray to hand over the larger bills she hadn't put in the safe. The bear pushed Jack aside, gathering the bills. It looked back at Jack, then back to Winnie. It shot her in the throat.
Enough to make the sun hide,
the bear said, watching her fall to the floor with the cigarettes, choking. He turned the gun on Jack.
Get me a bag of smokes. Don't care what kind.
That's not fair, Jack said. His vision bubbled. She did what you wanted.
And you will too,
the bear said. Jack fell to his knees.
I won't.
Winnie's guttural choking faded into a gurgling sigh. The bear emptied the magazine into his forehead. Advil, chocolate milk, and a symphony of pain in his throat. Jack threw the items down. He marched to the front. Winnie put her newspaper down.
Good evening.
Leave the store. Now.
She took a step back.
Why?
Please, just listen to me.
She paused, as if she was considering it. Or maybe considering his mental state instead. Perhaps that's why she stuck a finger on the button under the counter. He laughed.
They won't get here fast enough.
What are you talking about, dear?
She said, shaking with her smile. The monotone bell over the door sang.
It's too late now, Winnie.
She shook harder. Jack turned to the door, pointing. The bear sent a bullet through his eye. Advil, chocolate milk, and one too many times around the bend, Jack had gathered he was in hell. At least the chocolate milk was all right. He'd begun to drink it the 12th iteration, and he'd stopped counting at 20. The bear couldn't have been there for the money. Every time he got his dirt-caked claws on cash, he rampaged through the store, locked in a boundless dance with a psychopath and an oblivious old wench. Jack wondered if it was the bear's heaven. Wouldn't a murderer be content to murder eternity? It went the same way every time. The bear walks in, demands cash, sprays her in the face, prowls the store, finds Jack, and kills him too. Then it was pills, milk, and the urge to smoke all over again. There was nothing before the store except inherent clauses he knew to be true if he thought hard enough. He knew his name was Jack. He was obviously male, and he had work in an hour. But the finer details, where he worked, who he lived with, what he drove, that didn't exist. It may as well have been the time before his birth. Leaving the store didn't work either. Anytime he left Winnie alone and stepped off the ledge into the parking lot, a pit grew in his stomach. One so vast and deep he couldn't live with himself, as if he were being pulled apart from the fibers of his soul. Jack instead used the 5 minutes of each loop to notice how immaculate each detail reconstructed itself. how precisely the atoms filled the same space. Same AC jitters, same shopping ad followed by a horse with no name, getting to the solo as it did every time when the bear came in, shoulders swaying to the tempo. Then there was Winnie. Each time the same, offering a smile, wishing him a good evening if he bothered to approach the register. No matter what he said, she wouldn't abandon her post. She didn't curse, she didn't heed his warnings, and she always went for the button if Jack didn't interfere, so she always ate one in the face. Pain lost meaning with each iteration, and so did she. Winnie wasn't a person. She had been no different than the rest of the store, all actions predetermined and fate sealed. Her stubbornness was the gatekeeper in his hell. Hell. Fuck it, he thought. With one spin, Jack went into the back freezer, produced a bottle of whiskey, and doused the aisles. The store had to go down. The building itself. The shelves, the plaster in the walls, the checkboard floors, all of it, for it was all a sarcophagus. If the three of them had to go with it, so be it. If the only way to rest had to be the most painful way to go, at least he'd never wake again. When it was done, he went to the register.
"Good evening, dear,"
Winnie said, closing her newspaper. She noticed the scent. Her face twisted.
Have you been drinking?
He glanced up at the clock. 9:04. He went around the counter.
Sir, I'm gonna have to ask you to return.
He struck, uppercutting the flap of loose skin hanging from her jaw. She dropped. Out cold, though not for long. He grabbed the Marlboro lights, took out a cigarette, and walked to the back of the store as he lit up. The electric bell over the door crackled. He took a drag, satisfied with the hum of nicotine in his bones.
Hands in the...
Silence followed with loud sniffs.
What the fuck?
It said, leaning over the counter. Jack stepped forward, splashing up a puddle of apple crown. The bear spun.
Enough to make the sun hide?
Jack said. Smoke rose over the shelves of the aisle. The gun was shaking. Jack felt a rush. They met halfway in the aisle.
Who are you?
Jack shrugged, flicking the cigarette. Light erupted, consuming the aisle and licking their ankles. Screaming, Jack wrapped himself around the bear, pulling him to the bed. Flames. Talonyl, strawberry milk, and... Oh, fuck. It didn't work. An endless web of the same situation. Each new start was inevitable. Had defeat not soured him, he might have realized well before a few hundred more iterations that one thing did change. The items. The items had been consistent up until that point. He hated strawberry milk. He never took Talonyl, but they were the new constant. They'd changed. He couldn't remember what they were before. With each new start, he was staring off into space. Time had changed too. 8:55 on each spin instead of 9:00. A dim bulb of hope lit up the cove in his chest. Killing the bear didn't breed new results, and neither did Winnie's death. He'd been sent back around. Death wasn't the answer, but the pain seemed to teach new things. His eyes widened. Pain. He struck Winnie and burned everything down. He left the aisle.
Good evening, dear,
Winnie said. He grabbed her by her curls and cracked her head off the countertop. When the bear came in, Jack charged. a leaf, water, and a whiff of freedom. His phone read 8:50. Pain teaches variation. Everything changes with pain, and the items in his hand were no different. Whether he was shifting to a new timeline or putting a new code into a combination lock with different items was beyond him. He just knew something had changed. Nicotine. One cigarette, and he knew his thoughts would clear. He knew what he had to do. He just needed the right information. He went to the register, asking for his Marlboro lights.
My husband used to smoke those.
Physical pain leads to variance. But what about emotional pain?
Who cares?
Jack said. She stopped. Fire crossed her eyes. She scanned the cigarettes.
$9.
$9 more than he has, I bet.
The bear came in and reset the board. A leaf. Just a leaf. The smokes were still in his pocket. No sound from the radio. The AC wasn't on high, and it was 8:45. His heart soared. He just needed to get her to leave the store without laying a hand on her. He couldn't do it physically. She'd press charges. He'd escape one prison to end up in another with no reset. He set the Aleve on the shelf.
Good evening, dear,
Winnie said as he approached. Jack smiled.
Hey, can I use the phone? Mine doesn't have service. I need to check in with my wife. She isn't well. Horrible fever.
Winnie's eyebrows scrunched up. She frowned.
Our store phone is broken.
Crestfallen, Jack tapped the counter once with a closed fist.
I understand,
he said, sucking in his cheeks.
Thanks anyway.
He counted each step to the exit. He palmed the handle. He looked into his own translucent eyes reflected over the door. He pushed, sounding the bell, but careful not to step out too far.
Just a minute,
he heard. Bingo. For the first time, she had stepped out from the register, her arms sagging in the space between them, offering her phone.
You can use mine,
she said. He scrunched his lips.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be a bother.
Trust me, dear,
she said, face twinkling with memory.
You want to check up on those you really love.
For a moment, she revealed who she really was. A sweet lady who had never forgotten what that love is like. He swallowed hard, face running cold. The air between them stunk of what needed to be done. He took the phone.
I'll be back in a few minutes,
he said, offering a smile. She nodded.
Take all the time you need.
Outside, the wind bit his ears.
Any spare change?
The homeless man asked, hearing the bell.
No, he said. But I have a cigarette, if you'd like one.
The old man smiled, itching the tattered hole in his jacket.
Oh, yeah, sure.
After lighting the cigarette for him, Jack opened Winnie's phone. No password. He skimmed through it all. Every unacknowledged text to her son, every Facebook comment that had been ignored, every photo of the sunset from the curb where he stood, all the saved Bible verses, photos of printed family portraits, until he finally got what he was searching for. Her husband. His name was Ralph. It took him 10 minutes to go through her whole life, and 2 more to gather the beat-up sedan with the St. Jude bumper sticker was hers. His nose flared. He knew it had to be this way, or they'd be trapped dying forever. He had the luxury of knowing the cycle. He could see that now. She didn't know, but she died every time, doomed to the same 5 minutes for God knew how long. Suffering without knowing your suffering, that was hell. The subconscious, aware but unable to express it, takes it like a sponge, he thought. That was the nausea. That was the déjà vu. The burden of knowledge sat on his shoulders. He had to do the right thing, even if the execution was cruel. He tried everything else. That didn't make it easier. It was 9 o'clock. 5 minutes to showtime. He smoked another cigarette, heading inside at 9:04, when he saw a figure emerge from beyond the gas pumps. Winnie's head perked up.
Is she all right, dear?
He rounded the counter, placing the phone down. Before she could say anything, he wrapped his arms around her.
Sorry, he said. I'm so sorry, Winnie, for everything.
The monotone bell over the door sang. He squeezed her tight. The bear approached the counter, and it wasn't long until Jack was thrown into the final cycle. No items. No headache. No smokes. It was 8:30. Winnie's eyes met his. She closed the newspaper, lips creasing into the same exact smile as always. He gulped.
Good evening, dear,
she said. It was Kurt.
A pack of Marlboro Lights. Now.
She turned.
My husband used to smoke those.
Oh, really?
Jack said.
Is that why he's dead?
Her brittle shuffle halted. She cocked her head, turning back.
Excuse me?
Molars clamped. Guilt swelled in his tonsils. She scanned the smokes and tapped the display. She didn't read the price out loud. That wasn't like Winnie. Hope opened the gate. He pressed his palms into the counter.
Round and round, the mulberry bush. And among all I've learned about you, the most pitiful thing is how average you are, he said. Unchanging. A man can't have that. You know? And I bet he was relieved to die.
Her chin quivered.
Oh, your calm, sweet, sweet attitude makes me think you pride yourself in not letting the world change you, despite what it steals from you. You pride yourself on being the same old Winnie, yesterday, today, and forever. A holdout full of heart, never letting them win,
he said. She held up a hand.
Please.
So, you either didn't love Ralph enough for his absence to change you, or you're just as much of a fucking moron as I think you are.
Her fingers clasped the side of her face.
How'd you know his name?
I know a lot of things, Winnie. We've been locked in this dance without rhythm for some time now. I've learned just how pathetic and useless you are. The old car? To save your money? But save for who? Huh? For what? You work the night shift at a gas station. You can't even save yourself.
He spat, ramming a finger into the newspaper she'd been reading.
Do you read the obituaries, huh? Hoping to glimpse his name? Do you think you loved him? Or, did you just settle?
Winnie looked down at the wrinkles in her hands, rubbing the tears into them like lotion. Because you know what? Choosing to settle in the story of your life, I bet you sold yourself on working night shifts by thinking of moldy old platitudes like everyone has a place and this is mine. Or I bet I'll meet interesting new people. But the truth is, you sit here being the same old Winnie, following local events from the margins of 12-point fonts, hoping the town didn't forget about you, he said. She wiped under her eyes. In reality, the town couldn't forget about you, because it never fucking knew you in the first place. You're an old woman with nothing but wrinkles to show for it. Your son ignores your texts. No one interacts with you on Facebook, and you have no one to send those sunset pictures to. All you got left is that mask of a smile on those faded white teeth, and they only look so goddamn near perfect because you are a slave to routine. You are a slave to monotony. You are a slave. Winnie broke down. His heart shattered. His face burned hotter than the sun, and he knew then it couldn't hide. You should do me a favor and fucking leave. Go home. This world doesn't care about you. While she buried herself in her palms, Jack picked up the newspaper. They deliver these. You know that? You could read them at home, he said, tossing it over his shoulder. Her hands swept her face again as she backed away from the counter, her finger pointed at him, wavering back and forth. He took his hands off the counter, standing straight. Go on, he said. Shoot. She bit her lip. Her eyes were blank as moons. He scrunched his nose. Go ahead, Winnie. Prove me wrong. The accusing finger and poignant glare cast him with more pain than all the violence the bear had wrought. At last, she sighed and surrendered the finger.
Maybe you're right,
she whispered. She grabbed her pocketbook, rounded the counter, picked the newspaper up, and folded it neatly. At the door, she stopped, palming the handle. He made eye contact with her in the reflection. His voice cracked.
Don't look back, Winnie.
She swallowed, disappearing beyond the door. The bell sang one last time, leaving him with the drone of fluorescence. 9:10. The bear had not shown up. Jack was free. His face sprang to life. He was free. It was over. First, the original items. Then they changed. Then they dwindled. And now, no items and no bear. No items and no bear. A slow, creeping realization melted down his face. No items, no bear. He'd been free since 8:30. He clutched his temples, remembering each scathing word. Each syllable he had branded against the wrinkles of her skin echoed along the back panel of cigarettes. The world in front of him rippled, sliding down his cheeks as he pulled at the locks of his hair. How could he not have realized it? How could it have slipped away from him so easily in that moment? Had he hated her that much? He fell to his knees. Nausea charged up his throat. He locked his lips tight, his mouth filling with saliva. His breathing quickened, and at once his body couldn't be satiated with the moldy air that captured him any longer. He gave himself up, spewing all over his arms and covering the floor in a guttural roar. Eyelids heavy, he fell face first. The dog returns to its vomit. The monotone bell over the door sang. Jack's eyes scanned the newspaper, though he'd been unaware of any words for some time. He bobbed his head to A Horse with No Name, humming along with the melody. An older blonde woman and a heavy-set man approached the counter carrying a box of pasta, Benadryl, and a six-pack of Pepsi. The man leaned on the edge, looking Jack up and down. Jack smiled back.
"Good evening, folks," he said.
The woman smiled. The man pointed behind Jack.
"Yeah, can I get a pack of Campbell's?"
Jack nodded.
"My mother used to smoke those."
He turned, walking toward the wall of cigarettes. His fingers touched the pack, and the monotone bell over the door sang its second song. For the duration of the tone, it all came back. The items, the cravings for nicotine, each painful demise in being shot, stabbed, clobbered to death, burning the store down, and then Winnie. Her horrific expression, the words he had used to force her from the place he took. He pulled the pack down. He turned. The barrel of a gun focused on him. The bear stood behind the counter, with the other two frozen in shock. Jack's hands were clenched so tight they were glowing red by the time the bear demanded the cash in the register. Jack did as he was told, and the details began to elude him. In his panic, he couldn't recall why he knew the way it was going to end, only that he was certain he wasn't getting out. He emptied the contents of the register on the counter.
"There, he did what you want. Now, please, leave us alone,"
the woman shrieked. The bear turned in her direction, keeping the gun on Jack. She pleaded again, while the heavy-set man began to size him up. Jack's head fell halfway, and he caught a glimpse of his arm. Its pale, almost doughy complexion shocked him, and he realized he hadn't seen daylight in some time. God only knew how long. A bright flash, and then his back met the cartons. He pressed his palms to the leaking hole in his stomach.
"Enough to make the sun hide,"
the bear said. The other two behind the counter were aghast, a mixture of disbelief and confusion at the sentiment the bear had offered. Jack didn't understand. Not yet. But he was beginning to. At that moment, watching the ignorance of their situation painted on their faces, Jack couldn't muster the courage to tell them what they would face. He couldn't imagine how long they'd been trapped, how much of himself he would lose to the continuing repetitions until he was a numb shell of himself. He couldn't fathom the next time he'd see a blue sky or feel the warmth of the sun on his face. The bear straightened his posture. Right. It was his cue. Jack pushed himself off the wall, stumbling a step forward. Blood dripped from his lips. His head rocked back. The shot so quick he hadn't even seen the flash. Blurry and unwound, he fell, swallowed by a dizzying black eternity.
Was written by Daniel Guido and narrated by Nicholas Richardson. For more stories that haunt and a behind-the-scenes look at what we do and why we do it, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/pleaseleavepod. You can follow Please Leave on Facebook and Instagram at pleaseleavepod. Our email is pleaseleavepod@gmail.com, and our website is pleaseleavepod.com. This has been a Please Leave Media production.